All right, let's turn together to the book of 1 Kings, the Old Testament again this evening. 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings in the chapter 17. Here we see Elijah going to Ahab to deliver a message from the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went, and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this afternoon. Let's ask the Lord to come and meet with us as we hear his word. Let's have our heart ears open. Our ears open to take in what we're hearing from the Word of God, and for the Holy Spirit to apply it to our hearts. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can ask for help to hear your Word. Lord, we know we need help. We need help, Lord, to hear it. We need help, Lord, with our hearts to be prepared, that it may sink into our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thy word will fall on good ground this evening. We pray, Lord, that you will that it will bear forth fruit in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we will respond to what we hear. We pray, Lord, we will be driven closer to Christ. We pray, Lord, you will help us to look solely to the Lord Jesus for all of our help, for our provision. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word as it reaches into each heart by the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will cause it to grow. We pray, Lord, you will build us up in the faith. We pray, Lord, you will draw us closer to Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, prepare the way before us. We pray you will help us and draw very near in a very real way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You might remember back in 2011, during the summer of that year, on the 20th of July in 2011, the United Nations declared a famine in two regions of Somalia, after tens of thousands were losing their lives because of lack of food. 2 weeks later, a famine was declared in three more regions in that country, in Somalia, and as the time went on, Kenya and Ethiopia were also severely affected. It was said that it was one of the worst droughts in 60 years, and over 12 million people were affected, many starving to death, many were killed through outbreaks of violence. Put yourself in the shoes of those people. Put yourself in the shoes of those who have gone through such trauma, devastation. Think of the loss and despair that there is through famine in the world today. Those who have survived in those countries will live with the consequences for quite a while. The memory, I'm sure, of the drought, of the war, year after year struggling to keep crops alive, to be able to keep them alive, I'm sure it will affect them for many, many years. But what must it have been like in 1 Kings chapter 17 for the children of Israel? For many years, they had leaders, which we didn't read, but we learned in the past chapters, before chapter 17, they've had different leaders who were not leading them in the ways of the Lord. They were taking them astray. They weren't instructing them in things of God. And we read in chapter 16, verse 33, of the king that is now over them. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. So Ahab is the king of this nation, and up to this point he is the worst king. He is the worst king to have led them away from the paths of the Lord. The nation as a whole has turned away from God. They're at their furthest point away from God, as it said about Ahab, and they have fell into apostasy. They have turned away from the faith, more or less. In chapter 17, then, in verse 1, we see that Elijah comes with a message to Ahab. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Elijah comes with this message to Ahab, directly from the Lord, and he says that the Lord is going to judge. There's no rain going to fall until I am told by him otherwise. Forgetting about Ahab, forgetting about the nation of Israel who have gone into apostasy just for a moment, what about Elijah? He's a prophet of God, and he's been caught up in the middle of all this. He's just a messenger delivering the Lord's message. He's a prophet. Surely he'll be delivered from the famine, would he? Well, we all know as God's people that living for Christ doesn't mean we won't have trials. It doesn't mean we won't have burdens to bear. We will. We do go through times of difficulty. We will go through times of drought as God's people. But these times of challenges make us stronger. They make us stronger in the faith, as we learn to depend on God to supply our need and give us help to pull us through. So we should be encouraged as we face trials, as we face tribulation, that God is there to guide us through those things. God is there to help us. We should be encouraged by Elijah's experience, as we're going to look at today, and see by his life how, through his experience, he learned to depend upon the Lord, and the Lord brought him through this trial, this tribulation that he was going to suffer. Now, if you could only see the future that lay ahead of Elijah, we would be in greater despair if we didn't see how he pulled through, trusting in God. So we want to think about God's provision through drought. God's provision through drought. And we want to see the direction that's given to Elijah, first of all. Basically, the direction that is given to Elijah to receive this provision that's going to be offered to him, that has been offered to him in this chapter that we've read. As Elijah delivered this terrifying news to Ahab, I'm sure he asked himself, what's going to happen to me? Humanly speaking, how was Elijah going to survive a worldwide famine or a nationwide famine at this time? But remember, Elijah was the messenger. But if he is the messenger, who is he the messenger of? Who is he the messenger of? Look at verse 2. "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," the word of the Lord, this is the Lord that has come to Elijah. Elijah's direction comes from the Lord. He is directed by the Lord. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit writes these words straight after we read verse 1? After that, he has presented the message to Ahab. The word of the Lord comes to Ahab, or to Elijah again, directing him in the next step that he should go. The Lord comes to Elijah to show him the next step where he wants him to go. So he is the one who guides. The Lord Jesus is the one who guides us, providentially guides us. and he should be our director in our lives. May we challenge ourselves again. When was the last time we waited upon the Lord? When was the last time we sought for his presence, to wait for him to come and give us direction? Are we waiting on the Lord as God's people? Are we being directed through his word? In verse 24 in chapter 17, where we go to see the resurrection of the Gentile son, verse 24, it says, "The woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." We read there the words of the mother of the Gentile son. Elijah had just raised her son from the dead, basically. But how did he do it? How did he raise his son, her son, from the dead? Well, we read in verse 21, just go back a few verses. "He stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee. Elijah was a man of prayer, and he depended upon the Lord. He looked to the Lord even after this point, further on in the passage. And basically what I'm showing you here is that Elijah knew his God. He knew his God because he communed with God. So for Elijah to be communing with God, he had to talk to God. He had to spend time with him. He had to wait for him in prayer. And likewise today, as God's people, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord in prayer. Elijah knew his Lord. He depended upon him in that situation, which would happen several years after this passage, these first few verses that we're looking at this evening. But notice what the Lord actually says to Elijah after he delivers the message to Ahab. Look at verse 3. The Lord says, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherit, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." The Lord is telling Elijah to go and hide by a brook, that which is called Cherit. As God declared a famine in the land, Elijah, as a servant of God, could have easily started going around preaching, telling the people of the nation of Israel that they need to repent, they need to get right with God, or God's going to send a famine. He could have told them that they need to turn from their sin. But that's not what God wanted Elijah to do at this specific time. God wants Elijah to go and hide by a brook called Cherit. This is the option that Elijah has got. God says, "This is my provision for you. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do." So, let's stop and think about this one. God's providing a place for Elijah to go where there's water. God has said that he's going to supply Elijah with water. And he's going to supply Elijah with food, which we'll look at in a moment or two. But this place that God is sending Elijah to, this place, the brook Cherit, it's not exactly the first place you would have wanted to go to. Why do we say that? Well, the name Cherit, in the Hebrew meaning, means to cut away. To cut away. To cut up or to cut off. To cut away, to cut up, or to cut off. And God was going to show Elijah a thing or two here. While the famine would go on throughout the nation of Israel, the Lord would look after his servant. But Elijah was going to experience a purging. It was what we could say a training ground for a couple of years. This was where God wanted him to be, alone, on his own with God, learning to depend upon the Lord. He was going to learn how to depend more upon God. So in order for Elijah to receive this provision, he needed to look only to the Lord and listen to what he wanted him to do. So let's go down to the brook with Elijah. Let's go down to the brook Cherit and see the degree of the provision, the degree that of the provision that was offered to him. If you look at verse 5, you see that Elijah it says, "So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kerith." That is before Jordan. So Elijah, he's been obedient. He has done as the Lord has told him. And we see in verse 6 that God provides for Elijah, as he said he would. It says in verse 6, "The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." In regards to this degree that was provided, the degree of this provision that was provided for Elijah, let's think about the ravens first of all. Isn't it amazing how God can change the nature of the ravens at this point, changing them from scrounging for every scrap of food for themselves to bringing bread and flesh in the morning and evening to Elijah, a servant of God. And remember, there was a famine on. I'm sure the ravens, they would have kept it for themselves, but God, as we'll see in a moment, he has providentially changed the behaviour of these animals, and he's bringing food through the ravens to Elijah. I'm sure you as a child of God can look back to difficult challenges, and we can see the providence of God bringing you through them. It might have been a difficult time, it might have been a difficult challenge, it might have been hard to come to terms with, but step by step, as you look back on your own experiences, you can see how God provided for you, God cared for you, and God looked after you. Let's look at Joseph for a moment. I know we referred to Joseph last week in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Last week, remember, he was sold into, we know the story of Joseph, he was sold into Egypt. He was sold by his brothers from the land of Israel, and he was in the hands of Potiphar, and he became an overseer of the house. And we thought last week particularly of how he was tempted to lie with Potiphar's wife, and we see that she told Potiphar, her husband, that Joseph tried to make him lie with her. But after this, in verse 21, Genesis chapter 39, verse 21, we see that Joseph was put into prison as a result of this, even though it wasn't his fault. But if we read in verse 21, "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And in verse 22, we see that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. So in a dark prison, I'm sure that Joseph never thought a prison officer would take an interest in his life and give him this little degree of authority. But the Lord was with Joseph. That's the point. The Lord was with Joseph at this time. After being charged by the jailer to look after the butler and the baker and interpreting their dreams. Remember how Joseph interpreted the baker's dream, and then he interpreted the butler's dream, and then the baker's dream in the prison cells. And we go to chapter 41 and the verse 14, where the baker, remember the butler said that he would be free, but the baker after 3 days would be killed. And the butler, when he was released, he forgot about Joseph. He forgot about him. But there came a time when Pharaoh began to have dreams. And butler spoke up and said about a man called Joseph who was in the prison, who was able to interpret his dream. And we see in chapter 41 verse 14, it says, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." Who would have thought, throughout these hard circumstances of Joseph's life, I'm sure he never thought that he would be raised up to be a prime minister in the land, and eventually he would be paving the way to help his whole family and his whole home nation during a time that a famine would occur and 14 years to come or so. He was to provide and the meal and store the houses well up with the crops of the first 7 years, where there would be plenty of food. And then the 7 years after that, there would be famine. And he would provide for his own family. And he would eventually come into union with his family again. Through a trial in his life, God used an unthinkable means to provide for Joseph's future. And back to Elijah then in Judges, or 1 Kings and chapter 17, we can see how God providentially met his need through the circumstances he was faced with. So as we face challenges, there are times when God can help in very mysterious ways. Think about the brook for a moment. Now, the brook, what can we say about the brook? We can say that the brook was natural. God provided a natural means to meet the need of Elijah. The brook, of course, would have demanded water to come from the mountains, and the mountains would have needed water to come from the sky, wouldn't they, through the clouds. But remember, there's a famine on at this time. When we see Elijah drinking from the brook, we can think of the natural means God has provided for his people to take comfort through the droughts of life. You know, we do go through droughts, we do go through times where we go into despair sometimes, and we struggle, and we can't get our heads and our hearts lifted towards God. But here, we must remember two or three things. We can think of the provision that the Lord has given us, and he has given us to attend the local church that teaches the Word of God faithfully. As long as God gives us the health and strength, we can gather under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Remember, we refer to the words of David in Psalm 27 in regards to the sanctuary, but in Psalm 77, chapter 13, we read of another verse from what we looked at a few weeks ago about David going to the sanctuary. He said, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." And this is one of the provisions that the Lord has given to us for the believer to be edified, built up in the faith, and to become stronger in their faith towards Jesus Christ. And we do not know the future. It's good to point this out. We don't know the future. At this time, we have access to the house of God to come freely, with liberty, to praise God and worship together. But we don't know. We don't know when this provision could be taken away from us. We should enjoy the liberty that we have to worship God. There's many people throughout the world today and they're persecuted. Perhaps they get imprisoned. Perhaps they even get tortured. And people even be killed for their faith if they're found meeting together. And here we are in this part of the world, and we can meet freely to praise God and listen to the word of the Lord and be built up in our faith, to seek encouragement and to be fed. What about being provided with his word to take comfort from? David, he also said in another psalm, Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God provides his word to feed us and give us counsel and give us direction through those troubles, through those trials, through those situations that we face. So we must use this means which God gives to us, and look to God to come in, with his Spirit and teach us the truth of Scripture, to encourage us in our faith that we may become stronger. Again, we have liberty in our nation to own our own Bible. Who knows the day? And God forbid that day will come, that there would come a time when that means may even be taken away from us. Then we think about having access to prayer with God. Although this is one thing that no one can take away from us, and this is one of the joys of the Christian life, we can always pray to the Lord. But sadly, it is the most neglected thing. We thought about this morning. Sometimes we hold those things to ourselves, those sins. Maybe we face a trial as well, or those difficulties, and we don't look to the Lord to help us. That can happen, and it does happen in the Christian life. But God says in his word, "Ask, ask, and it shall be given thee. Ask, and it shall be given thee. He says as well, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I believe many Christians, and we are all guilty of it at times, we go about and we do not cast all of our care upon him. How often do we cast those worries that we have through the day? And they get wrapped up in our minds and we just go through the day and we're worried about this, we're worried about that, and we don't take time to sit back and present it before the Lord. We need to pray. That is the greatest comfort of all through times of drought. We can talk to the Lord. We can talk to our Saviour. We can communicate with God on the grounds of what he has accomplished on the cross at Calvary. We have the great high priest who has an open ear to our crying. And there in heaven, today he intercedes for his people. He prays for his people and he presents the merits of his blood. What a degree of provision the Lord has provided us with to be able to come to him through prayer. You who are not saved, the Bible says, come ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest upon your souls. You know, you who are not saved, you have the drought of sin. You're drowned in your sin. And there's no righteous fruit coming out of your life. All is vapor in your life. You know, your works, your efforts, you're trying your best to keep God's law. That's not going to free you from the bondage of sin. Looking to an imaginary authority within you or somewhere else in the world, building your own self-esteem, that's not going to save you. That's not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. You need to turn away from your efforts. You need to turn away from yourself. You need to turn away from your self-righteousness. And you need to realize that without taking hold of the provision of Christ that is offered to us through the Word of God, trusting in the blood to cover all of your sin, you'll be eternally damned. You'll be lost forever. And the provision will no longer be offered to you. It will be no longer available to you. And even when you're living, God may stop striving with you. There's such a thing as the unpardonable sin. We don't know, I believe, when that is. But God can stop striving with a particular individual. That means when God stops speaking to that person, and perhaps there will come a time in your life where God will stop speaking to you. And maybe you could have 20 years left in your life. God may never speak to you again. That's a horrendous thought. And you need to respond to the gospel when it is offered to you. So Elijah, he's been provided for. But we said earlier that Elijah would learn to depend upon the Lord more, upon God, through this provision. We've seen him go to the brook Kerith, which means to cut away, to cut off. So let's see, thirdly, lastly, the dependency that Elijah learned. Because Elijah did learn to depend upon the Lord. Let's think about the ravens again. The ravens display something very, very important. Look at verse 6, chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. As we look at this verse, how can we see that Elijah learned to depend more upon the Lord? Well, when we think of the ravens in the Bible, they are classed as an unclean animal. If you look at Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, Leviticus chapter 11, and the verse 13, we read in regards to the birds of the air, showing that the unclean animals for the Jewish people, it says in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 13, and these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten, they are an abomination. The eagle, and the ossifrage, and the osprey, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind, every raven after his kind. So you see there the raven is mentioned there in the Levitical law as an unclean animal. And how can we show the wonderful thing that has happened here in regards to Elijah? It's the sovereignty of God. It's God's overruling hand. He has changed the nature. We mentioned earlier about the nature being changed. God has changed the circumstance. He has changed in His own will, after the counsel of His own will. He worketh all things, we know that. But He has changed the nature of these birds to turn and bring food to a servant of His. Look at Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, where we read about the children of Israel, where they were in the wilderness. Exodus chapter 16. We see the sovereignty of God here, and the miracle that was done in regards to the ravens bringing bread and flesh in the morning and evening. I believe our minds can be taken back to this point. In Exodus chapter 16 and the verse 11, we read, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host." And in verse 15 we read, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat." The children of Israel, they have been led out of Egypt by Moses, and they were mumbling, they were groaning about having no food. And here God miraculously provided for them by sending the manna, which means what is it? Here God miraculously provides for His people. God was teaching them to rely on Him, to trust in Him. And likewise with Elijah, he was taught to depend upon the Lord to provide for him all that he needed. We can be quick, you know, as believers, to look elsewhere, and how the sinner who is unconverted is so quick to look elsewhere. We see that in the world today. But as believers, we can be quick to look elsewhere in our Christian lives. When God doesn't provide when we want Him to, we can be quick to go two steps forward of the Lord and go on without Him, not wait upon the Lord. As Elijah was hiding by the brook then, and the brook Cherith, in the middle of a nationwide famine, what else did he do but look to the Lord, but wait upon the Lord, and expect by faith for God to guide him, even guiding him through the ravens, giving him food? What about the short supply of the brook? We're coming close to the end. The supply of the brook. We mentioned earlier that the brook, it was a natural provision, wasn't it? And it being a natural supply, the brook could only exist if there was natural water coming from the rain from the sky and then coming onto the mountains and streaming down from the mountains into this brook. So as the famine continues, the supply of water from the mountains, it gets fainter, until we read in verse 7, "It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." And as Elijah was relying on this natural supply of water to keep flowing, this was something which, humanly speaking, had to run out, had to dry out because of the lack of rain throughout the nation. You might ask, well, why can God not supply this need? Why can God not give more water in this occasion? Well, we're not saying that He couldn't. We're just saying that He didn't. You could ask, could He not cause a miracle for the water to keep flowing? Yes, He could. But as we think of, even in our own minds, of what God provides us with, and the privilege that God gives us with His grace, we should remember not to depend upon those provisions that He gives us, but to, it's going back to what we thought about at the start, it's going back to depending upon the Lord, getting back to the source of who we depend upon. We shouldn't depend upon, in the sense of those things that the Lord may give us. We should depend upon the Lord, looking to the Lord. Through His Word, we see Him. We may be given gifts and talents and abilities to be useful in the service of the Lord, but we should not depend upon them either. We should be looking to the Lord to give us grace to use those abilities that the Lord gives us. We can see that God was teaching Elijah not to depend upon present provisions that he had, the ravens, the brook, but to depend upon the Lord himself to supply his need, whatever provision he would offer. When we think of needing grace in our lives, as an example, we need grace in our lives to go forward with him, God's favour to strengthen us and help us. We look to God to supply the grace that we need. We think of the one who has been bruised. We think of the one who has been forsaken by the Father to receive, for us to receive an unlimited supply of grace through our Saviour Jesus Christ. And we need to look to God to supply us with that grace through his Son as we enjoy the provisions that God gives us. Let's never think that circumstances around us won't change. They won't change. We must continually look to God himself and trust in him to supply all of our need in the way he wills to supply it. God has provided the provision of the great Lamb of God. And we have no greater provision than the Lamb of God. Remember John said, whenever he was with his two disciples, and they saw the Lamb of God, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." What did he see? He saw the Son of God. He saw the Son of God in his humanity, walking the face of the earth, the promised Messiah. Why did he tell them to look? Because why should we look to Christ? Because he has experienced our weaknesses, his weaknesses, in his humanity. And the Bible teaches us that he is acquainted with grief, and he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like as we are, but yet without sin. We have a great provider. We have one who has gone to the cross. We have one who has fulfilled what he has come to do. He has made that atonement that had to be made for sins to be eternally taken away. And today he's offered to us to hold on to through Jesus Christ. As we've seen, the direction that's issued to Elijah for him to receive the provision, let's remember that God is our director and his words are the words to follow. As we've looked at the degree of the provision the Lord has graciously given us in our lives, let's use them for the spiritual growth in our lives to the glory of Jesus Christ. As we finally saw through the dependency that Elijah learned upon the Lord, let's learn to depend not upon the provision, but upon God alone. You who are not saved, the great provision is offered to you. You can accept Christ as Savior. He has offered to you through his word. He has done what he has come to do. He has finished the work that he has came to do. And there is nothing more that needs to be done. Today he can provide or meet the need for your soul. He can take the sin away. He can root it out. If you're willing to repent and turn, he will call you to himself. He will cleanse you through his precious blood. May we all go away trusting in the provision that God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ.